Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
Hi, this is Michael Senoff with HardToFindSeminars.com. I think you're going to really enjoy and learn from this interview I did with Mr. Louis Arouse. Louis is an internet expert, and he is my go-to guy when I need help with my website or anything related to the internet. And I asked Louis to take me through the control panel of my website and teach me all the things I would need to know to give me more access and better control and better direction of my website. So I hope you find this very beneficial and educational, and I hope it gives you the ability to have more power with what your website can do for you. Enjoy. Louis, how's it going?
Doing good, Mike.
All right. I really, really appreciate you taking the time and walking me through my control panel. It's been almost like a mystery to me. I wish I could have found you earlier to teach me exactly what this control panel is about. I've had a website for a long time. I had learned a little bit about how to get into the control panel, but there were so many buttons and so many icons, I didn't really know exactly all the things that my control panel or the guts of my website could do for me. And thank you for taking the time and explaining these things in detail one by one. And I really, really appreciate it. I know you've got a lot of internet experience, so.
No, it's not a problem, man. It can be really intimidating, especially going through it for the first time.
Why is it that the website resellers never even tell their customers about the control panel? I mean, when I signed up for my website, I had no idea what this thing was or even existed.
Well, most people still subscribe that you should read the fine manual where, you know, we give you all your stuff, there's documentation in there, and deal with it yourself or partake in our customer service where you can talk to our tech support analyst and they'll walk you through every little bit. They try to make everything available for a wide variety of audiences. Some people, whether that they do know everything or they don't know everything, some people need the hand-holding, and they do offer other services, but yeah, it's many of them, they don't right away give you all the tools that just says do this, 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 and this. There really isn't any from the get-go.
I think there's so much involved with a control panel that a internet hosting provider wouldn't have the time or the support or the manpower to answer all the questions involved, and that's probably why they leave it alone.
That's some of them. I mean, it depends on which type of hosting you're going for. Are you going for the diamond plan, the silver plan, down, the copper plan? That depends on which ones you're picking. So, I mean, I think a company that's able to afford the better services, they will have some sort of a tech support.
I'm pretty much a neophyte when it comes to this control panel. I want you to give me the basics. I have a website called HardToFindSeminars.com, and I've seen your website. What's the URL on yours?
My website is LouisArouse.com. You'll see the link on the webpage later.
Now, I know that we use different hosting providers, and our control panels look a little bit different. But first of all, let's start with what is a control panel for anyone who has a domain name?
Well, first let's start off where actually these websites are actually living. They're inside these giant servers, which are huge computers just full of storage and processing power for the ability to have websites on the internet.
I mean, are they like when you see in the movies in the 70s, the supercomputers, they take up rooms and rooms of base, or are these supercomputers now smaller than that?
They are smaller, but because of the fact that they're smaller, they can still have even more space and more stuff in them. There's still quite a lot of space that these things take up. And that being the case, inside them, there's one of two operating systems. It's either Windows-based or it's Linux-based. Either one, for the average user to go in there, they would either have to have a whole bunch of different programs all to do different little parts of the website, or everything would have to be from command line. Remember in the old days of the movies that you see, you know, text comes out and then you have to type in all these different commands to get the computer to do something?
Right, like DOS, when you had to actually type to make it do stuff before Windows.
It's either, you have your choices from before. Without the control panel, it's either having a bunch of little programs that do different things for you, so you have to open and close each one differently, or do everything from command line. I don't know about you, but I don't like really much either one of them.
No.
So the control panel allows you the ability to do all those things in one tool. So you have different areas of your website that you can manage and do whatever it is that you need it to do.
Does every website host or provider provide a owner of a URL, a control panel for their site?
The good ones do.
So anyone who has a website or who's been sold a website or pays a monthly fee or a yearly fee, that is their right, they're leasing that control panel, make settings and do things for their website.
Definitely a privilege, yeah. I mean, but it's something that I believe that everyone should at least have in there.
Okay.
Like you said before, there are so many things in there that just are too vast to even know offhand. And it's like, you know, you discover new things all the time. You go, oh, I never saw that before. Let me try that out.
Now, would you say even a neophyte could figure this out after you explain this all to me?
Oh, sure. That shouldn't be a problem.
Now, I'm looking at my control panel for hardtofindseminars.com. Mm-hmm. Now, some people who listen to this, their control panel may not look exactly like mine. Can you explain to someone that even though it doesn't look like it on the surface, that these same features that we're going to talk about are laying within their control?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So the most popular web host that's out there, actually it's called a web server, is a program called Apache. And within Apache, there are other various different programs that also make up what an entire web package and web hosting service has. With all of those different things, they have different control panels that they have to still be able to interact with the same thing. Now, the different people who make different control panels, they have their own way of designing, and you know, there is no one uniform thing, which is good because then you get to have choices and options to choose which ones you want. So that's the reason why they have them all different, but they all have the same functionality underneath the core. They all have an account management, a site management, email, different scripts, statistics and logs. Some of them even have more advanced tools for other things that you want to be able to do.
Now, well, before we get started, let's give anyone listening some form of an outline of what we're going to be talking about in these series of recordings.
Okay.
So let's go maybe by categories, and then we'll start from the beginning with the first one.
Okay, great. We're going to do three different sections where we're going to cover beginner information, which would entail how to control your site, how to get into it, basic things as adding in a new email account for yourself, how to upload new web pages to your new host.
Okay, why don't we start with the beginning, Lewis? But before we do that, I want you to explain, how do I get into the control panel?
Okay, it really depends on which site you're with. Most of the ones that I've seen, especially between my sites and your sites, it's always being able to put your URL, let's say, for example, hardtofindseminars.com, after you put a slash and then the word cPanel, that's the letter C, then the word panel, all in one word. From there, once you hit enter, it'll bring up a small little script that says, you know, put in your password and your username. Now you got to get that from your web host. Once that's done, then it'll bring you into this really nice, pretty interface that you have all your settings there.
Well, let's start with account management. What is a billing manager? What is a billing manager?
Well, billing manager, what it allows you to do is if you've already paid them. However, let's say if you change credit cards, you want to use a different form of payment to actually have your services taken care of every month, then, or every year, depending, you can go into billing manager and change the thing. People's lives change from minute to minute. Perhaps you've moved, perhaps you've changed your phone number, and you just want to keep them up to date about what's going on.
Or if your credit card expires, and you can put your updated credit card and continue to have service without interruption.
Exactly.
Okay, great. All right, change password. What is this password for?
most systems, when you start in, either the default password will be admin and the password will be password, and most of the world knows that, you know, most defaults are something similar to that. So you want to be able to change your password for your site when you get in there to have it be secured, locked down, so that nobody else can get into it without you knowing.
So what you're saying, when I buy a URL or website, the company will have a default password that their computers generate, and then once I'm in there, I should go in and create my own password, like I do on many other websites.
Exactly.
Okay, can you give some quick advice as to what type of password I should use, which would give me the highest possible security?
Definitely. The first one is, of course, stay away from dictionary passwords. Many people want something simple to understand and remember, and that's all great. However, the simpler it is to remember, the easier it is to crack. So dictionary words, try to stay away from. Put together where you use letters, numbers, punctuation marks, things like that, where it's a lot more difficult, and definitely more than 8 characters, I would say, for a good password, depending on your host. Some of them only allow you to put in 8 characters, but if you can get more than 8, that's definitely a lot better to use.
Okay, support center.
In the support center, it just allows you to actually talk to those people. So if you've got even more questions than what you and I are going over here, you can go on here and definitely get some more help. You also have a manual, so if you're tired of looking at just regular flat pages, you can actually interact with your manual and learn different things.
Is there someone on most companies' teams, like a technical guy, who is watching the server and watching everybody's website 24 hours a day?
Well, there should at least definitely be some there in the support center to help you out, and those would be technical people or customer service people that are connected to other technical people.
Now, some hosting companies could have thousands and thousands and thousands of websites all on their server. Is that correct?
Yep.
Update, contact, email. Let's talk about what this is and how it can benefit us in keeping good communications with our website provider.
It's the same thing with the billing management. You put in your first order for your site, you put in a certain email. However, you may change. Maybe you've got AOL, maybe you've got Yahoo, and then you decide, you know what, I'm going to go get a different company and change over. So you say, okay, great. Now, my web host still needs to be able to contact me. How do I do that? You come into here, into your contact email address section, change your password, and then click Save. So now, if that goes automatically from there into their database for your account. So once you have any information that they need to send to you, it'll automatically get sent to the new email address.
So what I see here, account management is basically support and ways to keep in contact with your website provider or website host.
Mm-hmm. And for them to be able to keep in contact with you.
Now, I'll tell you, it's extremely important to have a good relationship with your website provider, at least in my case with hardtofindseminars.com. I mean, hardtofindseminars.com is 90% of my source of income. And if that website goes down, that's money out of my pocket. And there have been several times when I've been able to call the owners of my hosting company and get in contact with them by person, and things happen. You know, sometimes there's things that will happen to your website where it's acting weird for no reason at all, and you'll call them and they have to maybe set some resettings and things like that. But I do want to stress that your website, especially if you're earning and generating income from it, is like a piece of real estate. I mean, it is an asset. And I wanted you to talk about for a second, when you set up your URL, if you have something that is an asset and is producing money for you now and in the future, how long should you get your website URL name secure for? And if you let it lapse, what could happen? Are there people out there searching to take valuable URLs away from rightful owners because they never renewed it in time?
Basically the same things that would happen in real estate was just what would happen with internet URLs. So yeah, of course there's definitely people out there who will go, if you bought your website URL name for a prime price, okay, and now it's become valuable, somebody else out there, after it's lapsed, it becomes really cheap because the web host, they're not making that money anymore, and any amount of money they can get from it will be fantastic. So there are people out there that will bid on it or just grab it outright, and you no longer have it. You now have to call them and ask them to buy it back. They're called cyber squatters.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that are for and against them, but definitely, yeah. You have to keep make sure that you keep up on your payments to keep your URL name, unless you don't even care about it anymore.
Okay.
And if you've worked on it as hard as you have on your site, then I know you want to keep your name.
Absolutely. Okay, great. Okay, let's go into the next section, which I have titled in on the image below, is site management. Let's talk about what site management is, and we'll start with the what it is, and then we'll go to the first one with file manager.
Okay, great. Site management just basically allows you now to actually control how files are moved around on your website, where different links will take people, how you are able to actually upload pages to your website so that other people can view them, and also be able to protect different directories. So let's take each one. First one is the file manager. Inside a file manager, it allows you to actually be able to create new folders. When you start out, you're given a set of basic folders where your different settings go in and different things like that. However, you want to be able to put stuff in there for your website. Okay, they're going to have certain ones, like you're not going to want to put all your images inside the trash folder. Okay, so you're going to want to create your own. Right inside the file manager, there should be a button there that says create new folder.
Mm-hmm.
You can just press that, type in your brand new folder's name, and it'll pop up. Then once you get inside that folder, you can start uploading new files to it.
So file manager, if I have a file manager on my computer outside of my website, and it's just how I organize all my Microsoft Word files and my Access files and my database files and my PDF files, I have them organized in different folders. I also have a folder just for my family pictures and images. So this is almost identical to how you organize and what you have on your computer, but this is all organized on the server and only related to what's on your website.
Exactly. And the little bit of difference here is that since there's no real taskbar where you can go click on as you would normally be accustomed to, here it has different links. Now, if you look on your file manager, it has on there an image of a folder, and then next to it the actual folder's name. Now you think, if I just click on the name, I'm there, no problem, I'll move into my folder. However, it's not true. If you click on the name, what it does is it gives you kind of the properties of that folder, what you can do to it. You can change the permissions, you can delete the folder, change the name, move it somewhere else, or even copy it and make another version of it. So clicking on the name inside the file manager will give you those options. If you actually want to go into the folder and take a look at it, you got to click on the actual folder icon.
Okay, so anyone who logs into their control panel, they're going to see two things. They're going to see an icon or an image to the left, at least in my case, and then they're going to see the name. When you click on the name, that's going to give you options of what to do with that actual content.
Exactly.
Clicking on the folder will take you into the actual folder. Okay, great point, because that's something that always confused me in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, excellent. Okay, Lewis, what are some other things that this file manager is going to allow me to do? How do I get my images and my things into my website?
Okay, well, this is only one way that you're able to actually upload files. There are other ways available to you here that are even, I believe, a lot easier. However, if you're already in here and there's just one picture or something that you want to move, you can click on the line there that says upload files. It'll take you to a new page that should pop up where you can actually browse through your hard drive. It would open up a little dialog box there that you could then choose which folders you want to upload to them.
Okay, so if I want to get a web page that's been designed for me up into my website, this file manager is the way to do it.
It's one way to do it.
It's just one way to do it. I'm going to click on the upload button, and then it's going to allow me to attach the proper file that I want to bring into my website from my computer, and it'll transfer it, and it is now on the server and in my website.
Exactly. Now, the reason I say this is only one way, because let's say you have, right here it allows you to do 12 things at once to be able to upload. However, what if you've got more? I mean, it'd be kind of tedious to have to keep coming back in here and each time click browse for all 12 of them and put in a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another way that you can upload files to your site called FTP, which stands for File Transfer Protocol. So we're going to go into that one in a little bit as well.
Okay. Okay, let's move on to the index manager. That's the icon with the I. What is an index manager, and what is an index?
An index manager will allow you to select which folders you actually want to protect. so that you can still have the folder on your site. However, no one else will be able to see it. You can hide certain things that you want to keep private for yourself.
Does this have anything to do with passwords or anything?
Yes, it has to do with passwords as well. So you would click on which file you want, which folder you want to protect.
Mm-hmm.
It will bring you to a new one. Once from there, you either select that you want that folder currently or if you want another one.
Mm-hmm.
The actual name of the folder will allow you to change the properties of it. The actual folder will allow you to surf deeper into it, and what's called drill down.
Okay.
Okay, so let's say if we click on one of the folders, I can see what's inside that folder, but I got to click the actual name now, and when I click on that, it takes me to another section that allows me to have different settings where I can get rid of the index. That way, I can have the folder still on my system, but just nobody else will see it.
Let's go to directory protection. What is directory protection?
Okay, where Index Manager allows you to kind of rip out the table of contents, the directory manager will allow you to put an actual lock on that book. So you can actually lock which directories you don't want anybody to have any access to at all, even if they find it by accident, unless they supply a password.
Now, is the directory the same thing as a folder?
Directory would be the same thing as a folder, yes.
Let's say I have a special folder on my website that I keep some downloads, where if I want to give someone some free bonuses who have purchased items from my hardtofindseminars.com site, I'll send them a link for download. Let's say I have these downloads in a folder, and people who buy from me at Hard to Find Seminars, as a gift, I'll send them a link to download some free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now with this directory folder, I can put a password, username and password on the folder. Instead of anyone on the internet surfing and downloading these things for free, I can now protect it and only distribute it to the people I choose by giving them a username and password.
Exactly.
Okay, that's great to know.
It's difficult if you have a whole bunch of people and you're worried about whether or not they'll change, they'll give out the passwords and stuff like that. There are other scripts available for it, but this is just a basic functionality to be able to protect a certain folder that you have.
Okay, great.
Okay,
domain manager.
Okay, the domain manager. Many times you'll see on web pages, well, they have the main person's site, then it'll be /chatroom/index/, all this big, long URL to get through. Now, you don't want to give that to your clients and customers coming into your website, that if that's the first thing they want to go into, they have to type in that big, long thing.
Right.
Instead, what the domain manager allows you to do is add in subdomains. Where if you want a chat room, you can just have it be chatroom.lewisarouse.com, or you can have it be forums.hardtofindseminars.com, where that person just has to type in that URL, and they're able to get to that section that they want right away. It also just looks a lot nicer, and it's a lot cleaner.
Okay, great. And there's another section that I'm looking at that is called add-on domains.
Exactly. So you can create additional domains where it would be almost looking like a separate website,
mm-hmm.
but it's still on your same account. You could have had Hard to Find Seminars and have Hard to Find Ads, but not have to buy two different services. You could have kept them all on the same service.
If anyone wants more specifics on exactly how to do this, they can contact us at the numbers below.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, the FTP manager. Now, when I mentioned before to the file manager that you had other ways to be able to upload files and change things, this is the way you do it. Because if you've got a whole bunch or you want to just update your entire site in one swoop, it would be really tedious to have to go through it using that other one. The FTP management, however, you need some other software. Usually it's already provided with whatever operating system you're using. The FTP manager, using your other program, will allow you to pull over just like you would with your regular Explorer or your regular file browser on your computer. Grab a whole bunch of files and just drop them into the folder that you want, and they automatically get uploaded to the server.
Okay, what does FTP stand for?
File Transfer Protocol. Once you've set yourself up an account, which usually you would be given one by default, but here it allows you to add in extra ones, or if you even want to set up an anonymous FTP where anybody can log into it and pull off files a lot faster instead of just having to go in and click through a web page, they can use their file browser on their computer and just pull off information a lot faster. Just the point I want to stress is that the FTP manager is definitely the much easier way to be able to move files in and out of your web host.
Okay. What's, give us one of the names of one of those pieces of software, free FTP managers that people can download, and where could they get one to get on their computer if they chose to transfer files that way?
Well, there's quite a few. There's some paid and there's some free ones, and what we'll do is we'll put a link at the end of this interview, and so then that way they can just go straight there, because it'd be a lot easier than just having to have them write it all down.
Okay, great.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to manage redirects. What is a redirect?
A redirect allows you to take, let's say you have your domain name, okay, so you have hardtofindseminars.com/mypictures.
Now, are we talking a forward slash?
Forward slash. But instead, you want to move that whole section into a different website completely.
Okay, let's talk about front page extensions.
You love it so much. Tell me something about it.
Well, I know what front page extensions allow me to do. When I design my website, hardtofindseminars.com, and I do it all with a piece of software called Front Page. Mm-hmm. And Front Page is basically an HTML editor, which allows you to design web pages, and it converts them into the HTML code, which makes a website work.
Now, does Front Page work? I mean, I know many people, when I especially started, I didn't want to have to go through all the HTML code and do all that stuff. Does it work like that, where I have to type in a bunch of code, or does it work kind of like a word processor?
That's a good question, Lewis. It works like a word processor. It's just like if you're designing a text document, you would have a page that looks like just if you opened up a page from Microsoft Word, and you would type it, you could format it, you could bold it, you could underline it, you could add pictures, you could set the margins, the spacing, you could give it colors. Now, you could do the same thing with Front Page, but what Front Page is doing in the background as you're typing, just like you are in your Microsoft Word document, it's also putting in the HTML code, the computer language that the website server and the website operates on. With the click of a button, you could look at all that HTML code, and that's some advanced things which anyone listening may want to learn about down the road, because it's very useful to understand what HTML code is. But this software allows you to design your pages as you would design them in Microsoft Word, but has the necessary code for your website to work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Now, the Front Page extensions, with this control panel, you need this extension set if you're using Front Page to design your web pages. So this control panel understands the language that Front Page software is using.
Now, the other thing to add on to that, because many people, either they can't afford, don't want to buy Front Page, there are other viable options as well, some that are even free. I mean, you've got programs out there such as Macromedia Dreamweaver, you have Adobe Go Live. If you want a free one, there's a company that just, the website is www.ndu.org, pronounced NView, where they took the original Mozilla editor and they've just put a lot more functionality onto it, and they've kind of redesigned it.
Okay, great. That's excellent advice. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on to the next one. IP Deny Manager. What is IP Deny Manager?
Just like in the real world, there are some people you just do not want to allow into your home. So the IP manager, if you've got somebody who's giving you problems, now this is where your statistics and logs will come in helpful later, where you find there's somebody doing crazy stuff on your website, or they're just giving you a real hard time. They're constantly trying to attack your website and crack into it. You can automatically deny them and put their actual IP address, which stands for Internet Protocol Address, where it's a series of numbers that it's like your telephone number, but on the internet.
Right.
Where each person has a specific telephone number that's related to them. Where you put in that number, add it, and they will no longer be able to even access your site.
Okay, so it's almost like a do not call list or a spam filter list. Okay, great. Database manager.
Database manager. One of the most popular database managers out there right now is called SQL, where you're able to create your own database, like a regular database where it would be accessed. You can create that, but now online. So for, let's say, your products or my products, we can create an entire database that people can search through for different information. Between the database and the PHP, which is the next section over, both of them, they're tied together, where you don't really have to touch the SQL section, because SQL, what it does is allows you to create a database just like you would in the program like Access.
So is SQL a type of language?
Exactly. It's, depending on which one you get, there's even one called MySQL, which is a totally free version of it and works just the same. This one is designed to be able to work on the internet, so you can create online databases for people to search through.
Give me an example. How could someone use a database to their benefit on their website?
If you've got, let's say, a page that you're interested in weather and you want to show people all the statistics for weather, mm-hmm. instead of having to go in and design yourself a table with all the charts and all, you know, the categories in there, the database will allow you to do the same thing a lot easier. It'll automatically create all the different sections for you, and then you can just upload your data there. Also, we'll be able to change dynamically, because people can search for different subjects that they want or different data that they want, and it'll organize it however they feel most comfortable viewing it.
Okay, great.
Okay.
And the PHP?
PHP is a different programming language. It's kind of like there's another programming language called Perl and CGI that allows the more dynamic, you know, clicking of buttons and do different things happening going on. One of the functions is it controls the database manager. So there are a bunch of programs that you will put into there. And once again, this is more complicated stuff to go into, and the average user really wouldn't even, you know, have to go into it.
All right, but if someone has a need for something like this, could you help them with that?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so they can contact you at the link below.
Okay.
Okay, let's go into probably one of the most popular sections and one of the most used sections, and that would be email management.
Definitely.
All right, let's start with email management.
Okay, so adding and deleting email accounts. When you start with your web host, you're given one email account, which is your main one. Well, the reason why you want to have, number one, an email account, period, is because it's related to your website. It's a little bit of advertising, and plus it gives them people different ways to contact you. Now, you can have more than just one. You can have one for different sections and different information, so that way you kind of can filter out and sort your email, kind of like so you have your own secretary. You can put in, like, info@hardtofindseminars.com, marketing@hardtofindseminars.com, products@hardtofindseminars.com, troubleshooting@hardtofindseminars.com, and you can have these different email accounts, so that way people can send to different departments in your business. You only want to look at all the product-related emails. You can just go into that one.
Okay, that's great. All right, next.
Next section, the default address. This one's pretty cool. I don't know about you, but sometimes I will type the wrong name into somebody's email. It just won't go anywhere. It's just like lost in limbo, or it'll get returned right to me. That's one of the things that can annoy people, that, you know, my mail didn't get through. So the default email address, what it allows you to do is that your default is your main domain name. So any type of email, because when you look at, if you look at an actual email address, it has that first part, which would be Michael, and then it has a little at symbol, and then the domain name after that. That domain name is kind of like a zip code. It'll send the mail to that certain zip code in that area, and then after that, it's going to look specifically for that house, which is hardtofindseminars.com, and now it's going to look for that guy, Mike, instead of Michael. And say, I don't see a Mike in here. It must be the wrong address. I'm going to send it back. Well, instead, what it'll do is, no, this is the right house, but you've written the name wrong. It's okay. We'll take it. We'll find the guy. So it'll still keep your mail. The person will think that, oh, great, my mail went through, no problem. But instead, now that email has been routed to whatever other email you give it to. So if it can't find specifically that address that it was looking for, it'll send it to your default. You know, it could be the one that you have at home, your regular email address.
Okay, great.
Okay.
All right, next, email forwarders.
Okay, email forwarders is kind of like the default address, but it's more specifically designed for the email accounts you have. So whereas I said that you have all these different sections and you can sort them out, what the email forwarder will do is, instead of you having to have all these different accounts, it'll take, people on the outside will still see you have, let's say, four different email accounts for different things. What they don't see is behind the scenes. Behind the scenes, the email server here will take all those emails and send them once again to just one address. So you can have it on your computer and have all your email from your website come there. So you never have to log into the control panel just to view your email.
Okay, so let's say you're a company. Your company has 5 employees. Someone handles inquiries about info at hardtofindseminars.com. Someone sends out free samples of our audio CD-ROM, which says free CD-ROM at hardtofindseminars.com. And I can direct each inquiry about each individual thing to a different person in my business.
That's another way if you've got more than a one-person business, yeah.
That's great.
And then you can do for many different, you don't have to just have it for one email just to go to one person. You can set it from one email to go to many different people.
Okay, excellent.
Okay.
All right, let's move on.
Autoresponders.
What is an autoresponder?
Autoresponder is kind of like, it, depending on how you use it, it could be either like an answering machine or it could be a salesperson. Because what an autoresponder does is as soon as somebody sends you an email, they're automatically sent back an email confirming the fact that you actually got it. So it's kind of like an answering machine, works the same way, that you say, oh, okay, at least the message is on there. You can have that as soon as somebody sends you an email, an autoresponder is sent back, thank you for sending your email, your message has been sent to such and such, it will be dealt with within the next 24 hours, thank you for your business. So that's a simple autoresponder. You can also use an autoresponder, though, to direct people to other products that you've got. So you can set, like let's say you've set up on your site, oh, there's a special free report, send me an email to this address, and I'll automatically send you back the certain file that you want. You can put all that stuff inside an autoresponder, and they think that somebody's actually there taking care of it and sending out the information when, in fact, it's all going on automatically. This one that they provide you here is just basic functionality, but for most people, that's enough. If you want more advanced functions, there are definitely some great products out there on the Internet that you can use.
Okay, great. And we'll have some links below that I can recommend an autoresponder that I use, which has been wonderful for me.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, block email.
Okay, blocking email. Blocking email is just the same way as you would do it on your email program on your main computer, where you can filter out what emails you actually want to get to you or you want to deny. So you can have it that from a certain person, if somebody's constantly sending you information that you don't even want to deal with. Okay, let's say that somebody's sending you a bunch of stuff about mortgage information constantly, and you're not looking to move anytime soon, and you just want to get rid of it, and you know it's always coming from this one address, you can set your filter to say that if it's from this person, you block it. Or you want to have it from subject, so that if somebody types in a certain words in there that you know you're not interested in, be it like the Nigerian scams that they've got going on now, you can block it out by certain filters and words.
I see. So it's almost like a do not call list.
Almost like a do not call list. It even gets to the point that you can change it by certain words. If there's certain words that offend you and you don't want those to get to you, you could set it that way as well.
So I could program this thing, let's say, in the subject line of any email that comes to hardtofindseminars.com, if the email says Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
even in the subject of the email, it would block that one.
Exactly.
Okay, that's excellent. That's great to know. Okay, let's move on.
Next one is mailing lists.
Okay. Why would I need a mailing list feature on my site?
Mailing list for your business, whether it's on your site here or you're using it anywhere else, is a fantastic tool. Because with that, you're able to keep track of all the people who want information from you. And that is like gold. If you're able to have that, you can then now start sending people emails about new products that you have coming out, new services that you have available, and you keep able to keep in constant contact with those people to keep your business in the front of their mind.
You know, I've heard it said that the number one purpose of a website is in its design to capture an interested prospect's name and email address, period.
Exactly.
Now, why is that?
The reason is because you want, if those people are interested in your product, it's a lot cheaper and more effective to sell to people that are already interested in your product or they've already bought from you in the past. So that way they'll stick around and constantly be influenced by what it is that you have available. If they didn't buy the first time, they'll buy next time. They'll buy down the road. You don't know when they're going to buy, so you want to be able to constantly have be in touch with them, so that way they know everything that's going on with your business, and eventually they're going to buy.
I mean, this is so critical. If anyone has a website and they have no way or no offer or no free report or no enticement to capture a name and an email address, phone number, or contact information, you're literally throwing money down the drain.
Exactly.
Now, that's if you have a website for a business purpose. If you have a website that's just purely for your family and entertainment and information.
You just want to have like a family newsletter to send out, and that's fine.
You don't need it.
Exactly. Now, if you have a business and you touched on something that's very important, if you have a business and you're trying to capture emails, well, guess what? Most people out there, they say, well, I don't want people to have my email address because I don't know what they're going to send me. So one of the things you got to be able to have is things that entice them, things that they go, yeah, I really, really want that. Okay, fine. I'll give them my email address because I want them to send that to me. So you... The way that you do that is based on the content that you provide them, be it reports, be it special offers, be it free products that you're going to give them. And if you don't have that content, you're going to be in, you know, big trouble trying to get them to actually give you their email addresses. You know, between you and I, we definitely have great products out there, and we're also able to make content for people and show them how to be able to do that.
Well, I'd like to give a specific example and see if I can entice anyone listening to this to show them the proof and the power of capturing information. On my website, there's a section at hardtofindseminars.com called Free CD. Now, I give out a free CD-ROM that contains over 87 hours of audio marketing information, lessons, and how-to advice on how to improve the profits and make money with your website. When you go to that webpage to get your free CD shipped to you anywhere in the world free, I'm going to ask you for some certain information. I'm going to ask you for your name, your email address, your phone number, your fax number, your URL, what type of business you're in, how long you've been in business, your age, how many people on your customer list, what's your favorite aspect about marketing. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, totaling 15 questions. Now, it may only take you 5 or 10 minutes to fill that form out, but I have had thousands of people give me all that information for my free marketing CD-ROM. And that information I gain from the public viewing my website is like gold, because I have information on my customers who come to my site. I also ask them for one idea that can improve my website. And this is probably one of the most valuable questions I ask on this forum. And these ideas have literally transformed my website. I've gotten hundreds and hundreds of ideas from my marketplace of ways that I can improve my website, which I've acted on. So I would encourage you to set up a form and set up some offer or some special free report or free audio recording that Lewis and I can help develop for you, or free CD or something of value to entice your visitors for their email, name, and any other information you can get. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Reading web mail. What is this?
Okay, reading web mail is just like if you have an email account on the internet, you can come here and read your web mail. So whatever email comes into the different accounts, if you haven't set up something as an email forwarder or something else that will allow it to go to a different section, you can actually come onto your web host control panel, open up your different accounts, and read the specific emails and even reply to them right from there.
Okay, great.
Okay, it's simple.
Spam assassin.
Spam assassin. The number one email filter out there. What it does is, this is actually a smart spam filter. So that if, after a while, what it does is, it's a series of algorithms. I believe that they're based on what's called Bayesian filters, where it's a smart product. After you've taught it a couple times what's spam and what isn't spam, it will then take in all new incoming messages, learn from them, But as it goes and reads through it, it'll say, you know what, based on my past experience, I believe this is also spam. I'm not going to let it go into the main email accounts. I'm just going to throw it into this junk folder.
Is there a risk, if I'm a business, that if I enable a spam filter, is there a possibility that it will filter out things that I would originally want to get?
Of course, but that's, especially, it's like, right now it's like a toddler, okay, that it just doesn't really know and it's learning. As you keep teaching it, as it keeps going more, then the percentage gets up higher. That's why I would never, although I use these things religiously, I would never put it in that it would just delete the email that it thinks it's spam.
Mm-hmm.
It would always go into some sort of a junk folder that I could then search through and just, instead of going through the your entire inbox and having to go through each one and open the actual piece of mail to find out, okay, this guy is not sending me stuff that he's interested in my website, he's just sending me some spam. Instead, the Bayesian filters and the spam assassin will do it for you. Put it in the junk folder, and then if all of a sudden you're looking inside the junk folder and you see, wait, my mom's in there, hold on, how did that get there? You can click on it, and then you notice as you're reading it, oh, my mom was sending me information that somebody else sent her some spam, and that's why this thing thought that, you know, she was spam. Let me make sure that it doesn't do that anymore.
Okay, great. We've come to the end of part one, and we're going to do another part on PHP scripts and management, login statistics and error management, and we're going to do advanced tools, and that will be in part two coming up shortly. If someone wants to get in touch with you directly, what would be the best way?
Contact me on my website or give me a call, but definitely first contact me on my website, and there's a link to my email address and my website on at the bottom.
All right, well, I really appreciate you taking the time to do this, and we'll see you on recording number two.
You got it, Mike.
It's Michael with Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com in another bonus tip. How would you like to turn your $28 book or ebook or even a concept in your head into a $3,900 information product? I'll provide you the secrets on how to do this. If you'd like a completely free 30-day trial of my system for turning your simple book or even just a concept in your mind into an information product that you can sell for $97, $197, or even as much as $3,900 or more. This system includes a whole range of tricks and tips to help you pack your audio program full of great stories that take control of your listeners' brains. My information product creation system comes with my personal guarantee that you'll create an information product worth from $97 to $497 that's designed to sell like hotcakes. This is a 30-day free trial. If you'd like information on this, please email me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line, write in all caps, $28 book, and I'll email you information on how to turn your $28 book or even a concept in your mind into a $3,900 information product. Hi, this is Michael Sinoff with Michael Sinoff, hardtofindseminars.com. Here is another bonus tip in a valuable service that I offer to select clients. If you can talk into an ordinary telephone, you can be selling your own high-priced audio programs in as little as 7 days. This is the easiest way on earth to create a series of powerful audio recordings for your own information product. I call you on an ordinary telephone and interview you live on a series of related hot topics about your niche subject. I take care of all the editing, all the technical stuff, and I give you the finished MP3s or WAV files and audio transcripts. I only have time to give this deluxe personalized service to a few more carefully selected clients. If you're interested in developing and creating your own valuable information products that you could have complete in as short as 7 days and be selling for as high as $300, $500, even $3,900, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line of your email, please write info product information in all capital. Make sure I have your name and a way to contact you by phone, and we can talk about your specific ideas. Or you may call me at 858-274-7840. 651. Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with another bonus tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. It's called an audio infomercial. Your audio infomercial, which I create for you, will sell more products of yours faster, easier, and for less cost than any conventional advertising method, and I guarantee it 100%. Imagine catching yourself at concert pitch talking about what makes your business or your product service unique, what makes it special. Imagine taking a professional recording of that perfect sales presentation that I create for you and giving it to your prospect as an audio CD or an internet download from your website. I can do this for you faster than you ever thought possible with my personalized audio informational recording service. If you're interested in this unique service, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line of your email, in all capitals, write audio infomercial, and I will get back with you with more information. Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with another tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. This tip is one that is dear to my heart, and the reason why is because I know what a difference it can make for your business. It has to do with editing your audio recordings. If you are using audio online or offline to sell, market, and educate your prospects, this tip will be the most important tip you ever hear from me. Editing your audio content before you publish it to your site simply gets better results compared to unedited audio content. Think about this. A new song on the radio may be in the editing studio for months before it's released to the public. A new movie may take years in the editing process before it's released to the big screen or on DVD. Well-written sales letters, online promotions, books, and commercials are all meticulously edited to perfection before they are released. You would never dream of releasing an unedited version of any of these sales vehicles. So why would you publish unedited audio? Unedited audio content is abandoned by the listener faster, it produces less sales for you, and it actually destroys your credibility as a publisher. So why are we seeing so much unedited content proliferating the internet? The reason is simple. There are very few people who offer audio editing services who know what they are doing. Editing audio is kind of like plastic surgery. It's part skill and part an art form. You need someone with both the skill to do it and someone who understands marketing and selling. A poor result can be gained by both a skilled surgeon as well as a good technical editor. Who you choose to do your audio editing can be one of the best investments in your business. At HardToFindSeminars.com, we have been editing online and offline web content for 6 years. We have perfected a proprietary editing system that has been proven to get your customers to listen to your audio content longer and to listen to it more often, resulting in more sales for you more often, and with clean edited audio, you can demand more money for your products and services. It's just like in life, you only have one chance to make a first impression. Every time you release and publish unedited audio content, you are projecting a poor, sloppy, I don't care attitude that turns your prospects off. Do your prospects a favor. Service them. Give them your best. Do them a favor by giving them professionally edited audio messages, interviews, teleseminars, and selling promotions by editing your audio. We provide full audio editing services that are fast and at a reasonable rate. We know that editing your audio content can easily pay for itself 20 times over. Call me, Michael Senoff, for more information at 858-274-7851. I'll spend some time on the phone with you. We'll determine what audio content you're publishing. I'll be glad to offer you a free consultation on my ideas. I'll review some of your audio, and together we'll come up with a solution that gets you better results. Thanks for listening. Here is another bonus tip from Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Did you know that I have about 25 hours of exclusive consultations on my audio clips page, letter G? If you go to HardToFindSeminars.com, go to the audio clips section. This is a section where I have over 117 hours of audio interviews. Page G is nothing but consultations on information product development. You have over 25 hours of me giving my best advice on how to create, develop, produce, market, and sell audio information products. Go to page G if you want to learn how to create and market your own information products. Enjoy. There's an interview in the section of the audio recordings at Hard to Find Seminars. It's with a business buying expert. His name is Art Hamill. If you go back to my site, hardtofindseminars.com, and go to the product section, along the left side in light blue, you will see a list of topics. Look for the one that says business buying. Click on that link and you'll be taken to about 7 hours of exclusive interviews with Arthur Hamill. Arthur Hamill has purchased multi-million dollar businesses, over 200 of them in his lifetime, and he will tell you how to do the same thing. It's some fascinating content, and I wanted you to know about it. Here's another tip, and it has to do with podcast. Did you know that not only are all 187 hours of my audio recordings available for free online at my website, hardtofindseminars.com, but each one of these audio recordings is also in the form of what's called a podcast. A podcast is a simple way for you to digitally and automatically subscribe to online and new recordings and have them downloaded into your mobile audio player, like an iTunes, iPod, or any other digital audio playing device. But the way you find my recordings on podcasts is by going to one of the number one sites called iTunes. iTunes is a virtual library for music, spoken word, and podcasts. The music and spoken word audios you'll pay money for, but the podcasts are absolutely free. And you can subscribe to my podcast. All you do is go to iTunes. You'll automatically download the iTunes software, and then you will search Michael Sinoff in the subject line, and you will find most of my audio recordings right there available for you to download. This is great if you're on the road or you're on another computer, and if you have a mobile device, it'll automatically suck them right into your digital MP3 player, and you can take any of the audio recordings on the road with you. They'll also automatically notify you of any new recordings that I post as podcasts. Also, if you search through Google or Yahoo or any of the major search engines, Michael Sinoff, and then podcast, you'll find other resources with other podcast search engines that host my podcast. I hope this helps, and if you're a podcast listener, I think you'll be happy about this. So go over to iTunes and download the iTunes software and search Michael Sinoff, and you'll have all my audio recordings available for you right there. If you'd like to hone your skills as a copywriter, I have available for you the largest collection of one of the all-time master copywriters. His name is Claude Hopkins. Do a search on Claude Hopkins or go to my website, claudehopkinsadvertising.com. Claude Hopkins was one of the founders of modern-day advertising. He was one of the all-time legends in the industry, and myself and a partner have authored a book called the Claude Hopkins Advertising Collection. We have also searched thousands of newspapers to pull out all his classic ads. He's been responsible for building companies like Pepsodent toothpaste, Palmolive, Schlitz malt liquor, many household products like puffed wheat cereal that you're still using in your kitchens today, and he was the master and the genius behind this. He was responsible for many of the cars we drive today, like the Oldsmobile. Go check it out, claudehopkinsadvertising.com, if you want the ultimate in education on how to write copy. You cannot pass this up. So go on over to claudehopkinsadvertising.com and learn from the best. Here is another bonus resource for you. And it's about a section on my site that has about 15 hours of audio interviews with copywriting experts, including Brian Keith Voiles, including Carl Galletti, including Eugene Schwartz. You will not find this content anywhere. It'll take you to an entire collection of audio recordings, MP3 downloads, and transcripts of some of my best interviews on the subject of copywriting. You'll be able to play them, download them, print the transcripts, and it's a collection you will not find anywhere else. If you want an education on copywriting, you will not find anything better than this. If you go back to my site, and in the products page, along the light blue section down on the left, you're going to see another link that has a lot of value, and it all has to do with joint ventures. Go to that page, and you're going to hear about an offer on a joint venture system like no other. If you read the letter there, it'll describe all the benefits, and the offer is virtually risk-free, meaning you can order my joint venture system, have it sent to you without paying a dime, have 30 days to review it, to digest all the information, and only if you're happy with it after 30 days do you pay. It's an offer you can't lose on, and if you're enjoying this content, you're really going to love what I have waiting for you on the joint venture link at the products page at hardtofindseminars.com. Go check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it.